Let me lead us in a time of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we are excited as we kind of come to a transition point in this season. We want to pause today and give you thanks most of all. We thank you for who you are, what you are doing in our hearts, in our life as a church, in our world. And God, so often it may feel like we can't see what you are doing. So will you open our eyes this day? We thank you for the gift of rain this past week, waiting so many months for that air to clear up. God, may that signs of new growth that we start to see in this next month, physical, real growth, also be signs of that inner growth that you are doing within us. God, we thank you for those who were able to spend time with loved ones. We pray for traveling mercies for those who are still traveling to and from wherever they were. God, will you be present now? We know you are here, and will you make us mindful of your presence as we give you thanks for this and every day. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I'm going to read our scripture this morning. And I encourage you, as you hear the words of Psalm 30, wherever you are today, wherever you are this morning, may God's word connect with your heart in some way. One of the wonderful things about the Psalms is that there's just about a psalm for every experience, a psalm for every emotion, and Psalm 30 is one of those as well. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. It reads like this. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. When I was prosperous, I said, nothing can stop me now. Your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me, and I was shattered. I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die, if I sink into the grave? Can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. And that's how the psalm ends. Perhaps you find it easier this season, and this is the traditional kind of season of giving thanks, and we're a little bit more aware of it in our lives. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning to publicly share your thanks, things that you are thankful for, things that you're expressing your gratitude, whether it's, you know, something that's just happened in your life or something that is kind of ongoing. But I want to provide an opportunity for you this morning to do that. So is there anyone that would like to just share what you're thankful for? As Peter is helping me, and I'm thankful for new batteries. Time with family, yes. What else? You're thankful for your godly parents. Yeah. Being able to see a blue sky. Thank the Lord. Oh, my soul, thank the Lord, yes.
Thankful that we didn't lose anybody in the fires.
Thankful that you didn't lose anyone in the fires.
Everybody's safe.
Safety, yes.
Thankful for friends and family surrounding me when I make stupid decisions.
Thankful for friends and family when we make stupid decisions. That's a good one. Anyone else been there, done that? Yeah. If we're all honest, we'd all be raising our hands. Yes. What else?
Thankful for healthy children.
Thankful for healthy children. And he happens to be awake right now. Yes. What else?
I'm thankful for all the people who make Kids Zone happen every morning.
Thankful for people that make Kids Zone happen. Yes. A bunch of them back there right now. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for patient people who make that happen. Yes. I think this year, for me, we've sang the song several times, sung. We've been singing the song. I'm not thankful for forgetting grammar. I'm thankful for that song when we say, it's your breath in my lungs, in our lungs. And that song has really taken on new meaning for Rebecca and myself personally this year. So I'm thankful for his breath in our lungs and clear air. Maybe one last one. Thankful for the patience of God. One of my friends this past year kept something called a gratitude journal of trying to take one thing every day and just writing even a brief phrase down for that one thing. And then the whole point of then getting to the end of the year and kind of reviewing that gratitude. And it's amazing, a lot of our thanks tend to go in certain directions or certain spheres. And that's why it's important for us to share in these times and share with one another. I know my dad always made us do it every year on the Thanksgiving table, that one thing that you're thankful for. But it is important to share because there are things that people think about that maybe you hadn't thought about for a while. There's things that we forget to be thankful for. There's things that, the pressures of life happen, the ups and downs and the middles, and sometimes we're just spinning our wheels for a while and all of a sudden we realize, I haven't really expressed thanks to God for a while. Maybe even this day. When we share, we learn from one another. We learn by what we say and see and by what we don't say and don't see. And so sharing is important, especially in our church family. I know that each of you has a story to tell. And your story is being written right now, and it's your story. And I want to continue to encourage you every week to find ways to share how God is at work in your life. I didn't put any blanks on the back of the bulletin today. I listed some questions at the very end, things that you can be thinking about. And I encourage you, as you are aware or more aware of how God is at work in your life, that it would inspire you to share. Last week, we were talking about gratitude, and we said one of the reasons that it's important that we share and we share experiences is that it inspires other people to give. I am so inspired and thankful for you, the church, for us to be able to give $500 to those in need. Probably over and above what we normally are able to give on a typical Sunday. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for helping teach the church to have that generous heart. That's part of the story of your life. That giving, giving, giving spirit. If you've committed yourself to Christ, then your story is also the story of God as one of God's people. Your story fits and you matter in God's story, and he made it that way on purpose. And all of our stories combined into God's story help paint the picture of the world, the kingdom of God that we want to see fully unfolded in this world. Psalm 30 is another one of these stories. It's a testimony of one person's experience, and it becomes part of our shared experience, our shared worship as the church. When you look at this psalm, and we could have chosen a number of psalms this morning, they have so many feelings and emotions. There's security, there's feeling abandoned, there's crying, there's bargaining with God, there's weeping, and there's joy, all rolled into 12 verses. How does it end? It ends with singing praise to God, giving thanks to Him forever, the writer says. Now, this psalm is a testimony with a wide range of emotions, but the words are real. They're born of experience that led this writer to change, led this person to experience something in their life that caused them to come to a crisis point. Now, maybe you've experienced something similar to what the psalm writer writes about. Or maybe you see little bits of your story reflected in these words of Scripture. But as you'll see, experiencing God's presence is something that I believe will help to redefine the rhythm and response of your life to the Lord. Now, when Psalm 30 was written, this writer had experienced a lot, from the highs of life to the very bottom depths of life. One of the things we said last week is that one of the gifts God gives us is His grace and favor, and that allows us to be able to do good work. But one of the temptations when God's grace, when we're aware that we've received it, where we know that we're under God's favor, things seem to be going well, is that we're tempted to think, I got this. Everything's going fine. Man, look how successful I am. Look how prosperous I am at this moment. And this is partly what this person was experiencing when they wrote of their time. A sense of security and confidence. Nothing can stop me now, verse 6 says. Nothing can stop me. If you have the NIV, this is the New Living Translation. If you have the New International Version, it says, I will never be shaken. Other translations say, I will never be moved. Have you never been shaken? I've been shaken, and I know a lot of you have been too. But sometimes we have that confidence that comes when we're sort of in the zone. You know, we're in God's favor, but we might not be aware of it or have recognized it for a while. And then suddenly everything collapses around you. You go from the confidence of 5 seconds ago to like a balloon being popped. And you're like, what just happened in my life? How are things so upended so quickly? I was living in this sort of amazing land where I felt blessed by God and things were going well. I was secure as the mountain, like the writer says. And then suddenly you feel abandoned and destroyed. Verse 7 says, I was shattered. You turned away. You hid your face from me. You rejected me, God. That's how this writer feels. And perhaps you've had those moments too where you feel like, where are you, God? I know that I should be joyful and giving thanks, but I just don't feel your presence right now. Where are you? I think that when the writer wrote this, it's a brutally honest statement, even if it's not entirely accurate. We know that God is always with us, and yet often we don't feel that presence. And in those moments, we wonder, how did it come to this place? How did I get here? It was a moment where a life of ease for this person turned into a life of struggle. From what we know about this psalm, apparently this person suffered some debilitating illness of some kind that brought him almost to the point of death. And he wasn't sure what was going on because things had been going so well. And then all of a sudden, he has this experience where he rediscovers the God that he's relied on. And he says he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord rescued him. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord rescued him. It changed him. And suddenly what was a bad day, what's that book? Bad, horrible, no good day? Something like that. That day comes to turn into a new day for this guy. I will lift you up, Lord, because you rescued me, verse 1 says. I didn't know where to turn. I was in danger. I was close to death, and you lifted me out of the pit. You restored me. I cried out to you somehow in your mercy. You healed me and made me whole. And there are moments and days where that's exactly what we need to say, even when we don't feel like saying it. We need it so desperately. Lord, make me whole again. Make me clean. Restore this brokenness that is existing in my life. And if you have not felt very gracious or full of gratitude or thankfulness lately, maybe it's time to cry out to the Lord. This is a great time of year to do that, by the way, as we sort of move into this season of Advent where we're waiting for, we're preparing ourselves for the coming birth, celebrating Jesus once again. This is a great time to start again. The change that we see comes out of a serious circumstance for this writer, begins a new day. Somehow he knows that the Lord is real again. If you are struggling, is the Lord real? Is the Lord here and present? Cry out to him. Don't wait, and he will answer. Every time we seek his face, he will answer you. I love how the poetry of the Psalms speaks to our experience. You know, there's times where you open up the Bible, maybe you just randomly choose a psalm, and it seems to just kind of zero right in on your experience, on what you need or what you've forgotten about. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but it takes a lot to grab my attention. But the Lord has a way of doing that, sometimes in ways that I don't always like. How was the psalm writer changed? Take a look at verses 4 and 5. It says this, "Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones." See, this guy has just been rescued. And this is the response that it prompts in his heart. Praise his holy name. He didn't like the experience that he went through. His anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. This was his experience and how God rescued him, and it inspired him to change. These words have inspired generations of people. And there are many stories that I could share this morning, but I'm going to share just one brief story from this exact psalm and this exact verse, verse 5, that last one. And these words were spoken in a church service, and they changed one woman's life. Her name is Lauren. I've changed her name. And everything in her life seemed secure, right up to the moment that it wasn't. Things were going, she thought, perfectly fine. And she was sitting in church one day, wondering in silence what had just happened to her life. See, she and her husband had formed a blended family. They each brought kids into the mix. And then one day that came to an end, and her husband walked away, and he took his kids with him. And after 8 years, she was left wondering, what is going on? How did everything suddenly change? When she wrote her testimony down, she didn't share why he left, because she said that wasn't really the important point she wanted to communicate. She wanted to communicate her story because God had brought healing into her life, transforming her pain, and somehow drawing her to become closer to the Lord again at a time in her life where she thought everything was fine, but then she realized everything wasn't fine, and I'm nowhere close to the Lord at this moment. Here are her words. Where did this come from? What had I done wrong? I did what I was supposed to do. I loved all the kids equally and fairly. I was their mom when no one else would be. I did the responsible thing. Now I will never see them again. She writes, I wept. Oh God, this hurts so much. And then I'm sitting there and I'm told to praise God and pray? Does that even apply to me? Isn't that for those fanatics talking to God? Who does that anymore? That's just for those biblical people a long time ago. Then I heard that phrase in church. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. And I thought, wow, okay, that sunk in for me in a way it had never done before. All I had done for weeks was cry. It's all I could do. I was so desperate for an answer, any answer, some type of relief. And there it was. At that moment, my life was changed, even though I didn't really know how it would be. I realized I hadn't talked to God in a long time while I didn't like what my husband had done. I knew that the Lord was trying to get my attention. I drove home in a daze. Had I really gotten that far away from God? Had I really turned my back on him? I didn't even realize it was happening. It just happened. I thought because I was a decent wife and a decent mom, I was a decent person. But what does that have to do with my relationship with God? So that night, I hit my knees for the first time in a long time. And I prayed this, oh God, I'm so sorry for turning away from you. I'm so ashamed. I don't even know how or why I did it. I just know I'm so sorry. And Lauren writes, that night I actually slept for the first time in weeks. I felt God's loving arms wrapped around me all night. I had never felt closer to him than that night. It was like he was saying, it's okay, I'm with you now. And for some reason, when morning came, I wasn't crying. I remember thinking that God really does understand what I feel. He cares for me, even if no one else does. He comforted me when I needed it. Maybe I should talk to him more. Prayer became a constant for me. I couldn't get enough of it. And God continued to show me that he loved me and would take care of me and the children. It was the beginning point of my healing and transformation. If you want to know how her story turns out, you can talk to me after. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I know you don't enjoy those low points any more than I do. And some of them we hope we never have to experience in our lives. Those nights where things just feel totally wrong. Psalm 30 makes room for all of this. Whether you're at that point of dancing or singing or weeping or crying, if you're bargaining with God right now or you're experiencing joy, there's room for all of that in this psalm. There's room for each of you to be right where you are. There's freedom to share your experience with one another and to learn from one another. Verse 5 was the moment that touched this lady's heart. It was the moment when God softened her and his presence began to transform her again. So I ask, how is God's presence at work in you today? What is the Lord already doing that will inspire a new day in you? If this feels like that night of weeping, that night of the soul, what is God at work in you? What needs to be released so that that new day can dawn for you? When you decide to call out to God, and you reach out for his faithful hand, I know it will change you. I know it will transform you. And you know what? It should. The hand of God is holy. And when you grasp hold of it, He says, you are holy, not because you are, but because I am. And it's a change that will inspire you to remain close to him through thick and thin, to remain close even when things are going well, because that's when we get forgetful. That's when we forget to give thanks to God, to praise him for what he has done. Staying close to God will not protect you from harm. It will not stop the bad things from happening to you, but it will allow you to remain in his presence, to not be destroyed in the moment. And that is something we can always give thanks for. As we sang earlier, it is a new day dawning. Literally, we saw that this past week. Thanksgiving morning, I got up early, the sun was coming up, and it was an amazing blue sky as the sun came up with those few clouds. It seemed so different from the past 2 weeks of just constant smoke, where we couldn't see even the hills that were close, let alone sometimes the stop sign in front of us. It is a new day dawning. And the words of Psalm 30 aren't just in the past. As the church, they are for you today. Take a hold of them. Claim them. Trust them. Know that you aren't alone. Know that God is here with you right now. He's with you in those quiet moments when you feel like you're all alone. No, God is with you. He does not abandon you, even if others do, even if those people walk out on you in their life. His presence will heal and restore you if you desire it. All it requires is for you to reach out to the Lord once again. And as we enter into a new season of Advent, again, this is the perfect time for a fresh start, a new day. As you experience his presence in this coming month, as we unwrap the gifts that God has already given to us, respond honestly in gratitude. With thanksgiving always, his word says. Praise God for who he is, what he has done, and how he is present with you right now. You know, in Advent, we're all about Emmanuel, God with us. And God is with you right now. Reach out. And in that moment, a new day can dawn for you. It's a holy moment where the next page of your story can begin. When that happens, may we respond like the psalm. You've turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You've taken away my clothes of mourning, clothed me with joy that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will thank you forever, giving you thanks. Church, let me pray for you. God, thank you for bringing these people into my life. Thank you for bringing Jesus into our life and connecting us to one another. I want to pray for this group that your word would touch each person in a new and powerful way, that you would inspire us to draw close to you as we move into this season of Advent, that the closer we are to you, that you would make us more mindful of your presence, that you would give us that desire to attribute all thanks and praise to you. Lord, I thank you for those who are hurting right now, for those whom the holiday time is a difficult season. God, be comfort, be peace, be hope for people who need it. For all of this and more, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. I changed my mind. I will tell you what happened to her. God broke her and said, I want you to pray for your husband, to get down on your knees and pray for him. And she did. And guess what? He did come back. And they did experience a restored family in this instance, although the pain was still there. The wounds were still there. And a few years ago, their 13-year-old daughter was able to be baptized. Anything is possible. May God bless you in this week to come. May God give you exactly what you need, even if that's painful. And may you be able to give him thanks. It's good to see you, church. Amen.